This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. There's going to be a lot of moving and construction in downtown La Crosse over the next couple years. Not only are a number of hotels in the works, but all the pieces have moved into place to make the development on Lot C a reality. La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson recently stopped by our studios to explain the simultaneous closings and real estate transactions associated with the Lot C deal.
So our friends at Stizzo Development purchased the administration building for $250,000. They are going to remove the asbestos from that building and repurpose it a second time. People may remember that it was the courthouse at one time and has been the admin center for the last several decades. But the folks at Stizzo are going to repurpose the current administration building for housing, primarily for Western students. And another closing that happened that day was we purchased the Associated Bank building.
The county did?
Sorry, yes. La Crosse County purchased the Associated Bank building and their parking lots for roughly $4 million. We are going to repurpose that building for all of the administration functions of the county. We are also going to put an addition just to the west of the current Health and Human Services building. So between the now Associated Bank, soon to be La Crosse County Administration Building, and the Health and Human Services Building and the Law Enforcement Center, those three buildings will house the county's downtown campus.
Okay.
And as part of one of the contingencies of us purchasing the Associated Bank building was that they needed to have a new home downtown. And so they were able to come to an agreement with Weber Holdings to purchase a portion of Lot C for their new bank building. Much smaller footprint. As everybody knows, banking has become much more electronic and technical. So they don't need the big bank building that they currently have. But they will, on Lot C, have some drive-through lanes and retail space as well as the offices that they need for their anchor in La Crosse County.
Will they be their own separate building, or are they going to be part of this mixed-use development?
It'll be integrated into the building, actually, that has the housing units on Lot C. So Associated Bank and Weber Holdings struck a deal, and they signed that day also on their arrangement of Lot C, which, as we all now know, is a surface parking lot owned by La Crosse County, is now going to be about $68 million projected in construction cost, mixed use, very dense development that will include not only the Associated Bank building, but about 94 units of housing at market rate. Additionally, a multi-story office building that will accommodate, estimated at about 500 new jobs to the area. And then the remainder of that property will be some commercial and retail spaces. There will be subterranean parking and some surface parking. So the total projected, this is by the city assessor, but the total projected tax value or base that will be added for the city of La Crosse tax base is estimated between $26 and $33 million in new tax base.
So I assume now at this point is when the more physical work begins.
Right. And the warm weather has been welcomed by the construction folks because Weber Holdings has allowed us to use that parking lot until they start construction. But we've been told that we should expect the construction fences to go up at the end of March. The weather's been nice enough, so they're going to be able to break ground, I think, even sooner than they had originally thought.
So I'm pretty assuming, all the employees who park down there, is that worked out where they'll be parking? But I also know that, you know, a lot of members of the public also park down there, especially on the weekends.
Right.
So they'll have to find something else to do.
In the short term, it is going to be challenging. Just no question about it. It will be challenging. We have 170 or so additional lots that we purchased with the Associated Bank building and the lot across 7th Street. Adjacent to the Salvation Army. So we're using that already, and employees are parking there. We have some lease agreements with a couple of other property owners in downtown La Crosse for temporary parking for our employees. So short term is going to be challenging when that lot gets closed off, because that was 280 some parking spots. Not all of them were used every day, but we know, for example, on a jury selection day, when a lot more people are coming into town looking for a parking spot, that we're going to have to figure something out. And we've got a task force working on parking solutions short term and long term for the county. I do want to reassure the public, though, that long term, in our negotiations with Weber Holdings on the purchase of Lot C, we did negotiate a number of parking stalls for the public to use ongoing on Lot C. The public will have access to metered parking to gain them access to county offices in the law enforcement center. Ultimately, the city and Weber Holdings are going to work out a deal for a parking structure, we understand, nearby.
They need to work out the finances for that.
Yeah, and those parking spots aren't needed really until the office building goes up on Lot C, which will be the second phase of it. So they definitely have time to work that out. So we've worked out long-term solutions for parking for the public, for our employees. But in the short term, I can imagine it's going to be a couple of, frustrating years. And we are working with our employees on shuttle services and ride sharing and bus passes. And really what the county is trying to do is long term reduce our parking footprint. So we're trying to work with employees on how we can be better neighbors in downtown and be a leader among other large employers to set an example for how you can reduce the demand for parking.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with La Crosse County Board Chair Tara Johnson about the development on Lot C and the other real estate transactions associated with the deal.
I know there have been questions about public funds going into the Lot C project.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been some discussion about expanding a tax incremental district. Maybe this is more of a city question. But, I mean, are there public funds going into that? Or is it just the public funds might be covering the parking structure itself?
Yeah, there are no incentives, no public incentives for Lot C itself.
Okay.
The incentives, the increment that will be needed to help finance the parking structure will be in place. I mean, that the demand that is being created for parking, in addition to what is already unmet parking needs in that portion of downtown La Crosse, is going to increase because it's such a dense development on Lot C. But for the actual construction on Lot C, the housing, Associated Bank, the office building, there is no public money. There's no incentive being used for that development, which reminds me of another point I think that's important to make, which is that there have been a number of transactions in purchasing downtown properties in recent years that were really lowballing the value of downtown property. So there were $1 transactions, maybe the city sold to somebody, or La Crosse County was really firm in our negotiations with Weber Holdings that we wanted there to be value assigned to Lot C, even though it was owned by the public, even though it was used as a parking lot, which is probably lowest use worst you can come up with for a square block, but that we wanted there to be value to that so that property value for the whole city and for downtown is established through our transaction with Weber Holdings. So we sold Lot C to Weber Holdings for $1 million. And that really shifts the thinking and shifts the precedent for the value of public land in the city of La Crosse.
So it could potentially set a precedent, too, for future sales.
Absolutely. We hope so. I mean, we hope that we are stemming that tide of cheap property sales.
So beyond the tax base, obviously, mm-hmm. this could bring in a lot of taxes for the area. Physically, this is going to change downtown La Crosse.
Yes.
Economically, socially. I mean, this seems like this is a big deal.
It is. And it comes really from the density of that development, if you think about it. Obviously, the Riverside development where LHI is has increased density of jobs, but it doesn't have the mixed use component that Lot C does. And the Market Ramp development, the Transit Center development, those have some mixed use components to them, but not the jobs the way Lot C does. So Lot C really is very ambitious, very visionary, in my opinion. And you're right, has definitely the potential to transform certainly that portion of downtown La Crosse, and I think really the whole community. It's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing.
Are you hopeful that not only the retail space, commercial space, but also just the living spaces will be filled?
I can't tell you, Maureen, how many times people have come up and asked, do you have a brochure, or how do we get information about those housing units? Last year, when we convened the Lot C advisory group, so lots of stakeholders sitting around the table and doing the visual preferencing and looking at the parking issues and what that lot might look like before we let the request for proposal to see who was interested in developing it. There were so many people who came up to me, like literally in the parking lot at the grocery store, saying, that sounds so great. I want to move down there. I jokingly said, kind of inside baseball, inside politics, that there are going to be really competitive races for city council and for county board seats representing the downtown district, because there are so many people who want to move into that housing. And it will be market rate, and it'll be one bedroom to three bedroom. I think there's going to be huge demand for that housing portion of the development. But I also understand from Don that there is there's a lot of demand also for, you know, all the spaces in that Lot C development. So it's pretty exciting.
How do you see this development maybe shifting further development in the downtown area?
I think the reason that we looked at Lot C and selling it in this way is because it was part of the City Vision comprehensive plan. And that plan also calls for more development further north, right? I mean, we all know about the mobile oil site, or what was the mobile oil site that we're now supposed to call,
which is now
Riverside North.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, I don't remember the
name
that's
of
that.
Okay. But, and there's some of the ideas behind that shifting a little bit.
Right,
now too,
but in between Lot C and the mobile oil site, there's lots of opportunity for development as well. So I think Lot C development and what Weber Holdings will do on that square block in the northern part of downtown has the potential to spark development moving north all the way up, including the mobile oil site. So I think the potential is not just that square block, although that will be wonderful to have $30+ million in new tax base in the next couple of years, but kind of that synergistic effect on the rest of the neighborhood, which is already a really great downtown, but has the potential to really reinvigorate the northern part of downtown and add tax base. We're looking at, I think the estimates are about $980,000 annually in tax base generated by Lot C to the various taxing entities. So city will get 40% or so of that, school district about that as well. County will get maybe 15% of that, and then Western a piece. So annually, the taxes are going to start being generated. And then when you think of the, you know, like I said, the synergistic effect of a dense, really high-end mixed-use development on Lot C and what that might create for the rest of the neighborhood is pretty terrific.
Tara Johnson is the La Crosse County Board Chair and was talking about the development of Lot C in downtown La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Downtown La Crosse's look changed after offices for LHI and other companies were built along the Mississippi River. LHI founder and CEO Don Weber is now involved in yet another development that could have a long-term impact on the area. I recently met with Weber in his office, where he says the Lot C purchase is an opportunity to move the community forward. He says he had to ask critical questions before deciding on the design.
How do we best take advantage of that piece of property and take a look at the community and what would best go on there. And you have to have an idea of where we're headed in the future. What does this mean 10 or 20 years from now? Not what does it mean this year or next year. And we've learned from down here, from our campus down here, the change that it has made for downtown La Crosse, and it's become very active. It's become alive. And I look at our employee base and younger employees. They want to be closer to work. People want to live closer to work. And then you look at our demographics, and we have a lot of professional people also in the community. Many of them are retiring, and so they're thinking of selling their homes. They want to live downtown. And our downtown is really becoming vibrant. So we said a multi-use down there. I'm a believer in for any community to prosper and do well, you have to have people working. Good jobs and careers. And that'll attract. It'll keep our young talent here. It'll attract talent from around, you know, the world. And so I believe we as a company here are going to continue to grow. I truly believe that. I can't guarantee that. I couldn't in 2005 when we had 150 employees and we're going to build our first building for 500. People ask me, can you guarantee you're going to have 500 jobs? And I said, no, I can't. But I feel it, and I believe it. And in August of 2008, we hired Employee 500. And then it was a second and a third building. And so we now are part of a very solid organization that has great resources, Optum Health, United Health Group Company. And they see the value in La Crosse. They see the hardworking people. They see our productivity and our quality of work, and they've made a major stake now in this community. And so we have an opportunity for a company that has very, very deep resources to want to continue to grow here. That doesn't happen in a lifetime. And so I believe, you know, that we're going to have an opportunity to add 500, 600, 700, 800 more jobs in this community. Well, we need
from Lot C,
whatever goes in there?
Well, that's where we would probably move next. We have no more. I mean, we really have very little room down here to expand any further. And so we said, okay, we could have another commercial building there to support these careers and these opportunities. And then a multi-housing, you know, and I'm talking market grade quality units that, you know, would attract people. And of course, the county with its proposals that they had worked on in moving out of their administrative building and then moving and taking over the Associated Bank building. All these things were tied together. So many moving parts. And so Associated Bank was a part of that. And so they would have a piece of it. And then we have what we called our retail area. And we have something extremely exciting that we're working on to go in there. I can't discuss yet, but it's going to be a great, great asset to La Crosse and downtown La Crosse. And it fits a lot of what I truly believe in and when I talk about health and wellness and all these types of things. And so we put together this multi-use plan, and believe me, we put a lot of resources into that, you know, making it, you know, fit the culture of La Crosse. And, you know, like we did here, we wanted some of the historic downtown look to be part of this development, the brick and the stone and things like that. So we put a lot of thought into it, and the city is involved because, quite frankly, one of the biggest challenges about the whole thing is parking.
The never-ending drama that surrounds parking in La Crosse.
And so,
has that been figured out?
It has, pretty much so. But I can't talk about it yet. Okay. Sorry. I wish I could. There's a plan that we're right in the middle of.
But essentially, you have to have parking spots for people who would live there, people working there, people shopping there.
Sure. We'll have a certain amount of parking actually on site itself. But you're going to have 500 or 600 more employees. It's you know, plus there's a shortage of parking now. Let's address it. And so
I assume it only has to go up.
Yes.
It's in a multi-level.
Right. So there's going to be, you know, there's got to be a ramp. And you know, these things all cost money. and you know, who pays for what. And so now, really, now the heavy lifting starts because there's some strict timelines. We have to have the Associated Bank piece ready by next June, which we will. We're working daily now on you know, getting the final plans done, and we'll probably see activity starting next month.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with LHI CEO and founder Don Weber, whose company Weber Holdings recently purchased the Lot C property in downtown La Crosse.
So as far as housing goes, are you envisioning rental apartments or condos, maybe a mixture?
Right now, mostly rentals. We have 94 units, everything from, you know, lofts, one bedrooms up to three bedrooms, and I mean, they're going to be very beautiful apartments. And we see it. There's a lot of interest in it, both from people retiring, professionals, and I have people calling from Toma who are saying, look, we want to sell our house, we want to live in La Crosse, to younger people. And, you know, some of them probably working right there on the campus. It's going to do so much more than just Lot C and what it's going to do to the whole region and the community. And, you know, there'll be more, you know, better restaurants, more retail, being able to, you know, live on the Mississippi River, having the bluffs and the parks, to be able to walk right here to the park and do the river walk, I mean, or jog or do biking. I mean, you can go for miles and miles and miles right from here. You travel around this state, literally, there is no community in this state that is prospering like La Crosse. You know, and this is going to transform downtown La Crosse, you know, like probably nothing has in the last 40 or 50 years.
And as far as the office space, Associated Bank will be there. And you referred to, were you talking about maybe LHI having some offices over there? Are there other office spaces?
These are things that, you know, we have right now an opportunity on a couple of contracts coming up. Proposals that will be going out in the next few months. And we're pretty confident we're going to get a couple of awards, which could actually double the size of this company in two to 3 years of LHI. And so, you know, yeah, I want the jobs here. And United and Optum have said, hey, why not?
As far as retail, you said you have one project in the works. I've heard rumors of a grocery store, too. But how many other retail opportunities would there be in that area?
Well, it's not going to be a grocery store, okay? I mean, we had talked about that. I'm not saying we hadn't. We're looking at a possibility of, you know, one profession that would take up most of that space. We're having serious conversations. We're working through it. We'll probably have something pretty much confirmed in another 2 to 3 months.
Keep us hanging. So one of the things that, you know, people have asked about is just the idea of using public funds to potentially help with this. I know there's some talks about extending the tax incremental district into Lot C.
Well, we haven't actually, Weber Holdings asked anyone for public funding. The funding that's being talked about is for the parking itself. There needs to be a ramp. You know, we need parking outside of Lot C. The city has done its evaluation on that. They know there's without that there's a shortage, and so, you know, the ramp, the parking has to be addressed, and they're looking at you know, funding for that. I know there are critics, and that's a good thing. We still have them down here. And my intention in 2005 was never, I had no idea what was going on down here with this piece of property, you know, until I got called by the city when we purchased a piece of property up off of Theater Road in Alaska. And we were going to put our building up there. But once the city came and started talking about this piece of property, at first there was no interest. And I'm like, that doesn't really make sense for us. But I thought more and more over the next few meetings and what it might mean for La Crosse and downtown La Crosse. And so they gave us an incentive. All right, if you build a building with a value of no less than $8 million, you know, we'll develop this piece of property. and we'll give you options on the other two sites. And so we moved ahead and did that. What you have to understand, this was a TIF district, and at that time, the repayment on that TIF had been calculated out over like 27 years. And so this building ended up not being a $8 million facility, but, you know, it was almost double that. And the tax base on all of this was under $40,000. Today, in the last two, 3 years, it's been over $1.2 million. And that'll be there forever, and it'll go up. There were about 12 full-time jobs down here working in the Cargill grain elevators, and Piggy's had its restaurant here and had a few full-time jobs. And today we're almost at 2,000 on the campus. So when you look at all of that, you look at the tax base, that TIF is being paid back in almost a third of the time that it was originally figured to be. Now, I know in the past there were times where the city used TIFs and they didn't work out and the taxpayers get stuck with that, and that's unfortunate. It truly is. Hey, I'm a taxpayer here in this community. We want to make sure we're doing the right thing, and the taxpayers shouldn't be put on the hook for these things.
Don Weber, is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to this upcoming mixed-use development on Lot C?
It's a challenge. It has been. But when it's completed, you're going to look at it like people look at the campus down here and what was here before. You know, all it is surface parking now. There's no tax base to it. And so it's really going to change the whole dynamics of La Crosse, downtown La Crosse. And, you know, we have the hotels now, and, you know, we did our studies there, and, you know, there's a real shortage of rooms. So it's drawing businesses and more opportunity down here, you know, with the center. If the center remodels and moves forward with some of the changes they're talking about, we can do more events, bigger events. People want to come here. They want to see it. It's gorgeous right here on the Mississippi River. We too often forget about the beauty. We grow up here. We live here. We forget what we have here. Nestled between the bluffs, you know, quality life, great schools. This is a wonderful area. We're blessed. And so this is all going to help continue for this community. I'm hoping, you know, long after I'm gone, it'll be a positive thing.
Don Weber's company, Weber Holdings, plans to build a multi-use facility on the recently purchased Lot C in downtown La Crosse. His company is currently renovating the former Rost Furniture building into an upscale hotel. Last week, the La Crosse City Council agreed to sell a downtown lot between King and Jay Streets to Weber Holdings for $750,000, where he plans to build another hotel. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program is commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War in the Northwoods of Wisconsin this summer. To hear this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also comment on this show and check out photos on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. 50 years ago, the United States became involved in the Vietnam War. To help mark the anniversary, the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program is working with Wisconsin's Camp American Legion to put on a week-long celebration for Vietnam veterans. It'll take place in northern Wisconsin, June 8th through June 14th. Here to talk about the gathering is Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program, Tom Downer. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked Downer what's being planned.
The celebration is a special week that the Camp American Legion is putting together for the Vietnam veterans. When they built the camp back in 1925, they put a lot of time and effort into it, and now it's one of the greatest things in the state of Wisconsin for veterans. A lot of them don't know about this, and that's why they came to us, because we sort of serve western Wisconsin, and they asked us to put a little information out for them. What they're looking at doing is getting 75 to 80 Vietnam veterans, and that means they have to have served in the country of Vietnam. And they are putting together a week-long program for them just to go up there, relax, talk to fellow veterans that were, you know, up there and doing that type of stuff. There's going to be some special programs they're putting together and also some treatment activities, although they haven't really finalized a lot of that yet, although they have come up with one that the Wisconsin Veterans Affairs Office is going to help with this, and they're going to put a special USO program for them up there, and they're going to get some of the older performers to go up there and do a old USO, like when Bob Hope used to come to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. That's what they're focusing on.
You mentioned this camp. What is Wisconsin Camp American Legion?
It was started back in 1925 by the Wisconsin American Legion. And all the American Legion posts here in La Crosse and in every place they've got one, they actually pay in some money for this to put this together. And so basically what they have done was they started putting together a camp. If you go up to the Boy Scout camp up here, well, it's sort of like that, only it's for veterans. And it's a little bit more sophisticated, so to speak, in what they've got there. And they've got 21 fully furnished cabins there. And they've got a complete dining facility, activity lounges. They've got health and wellness centers. They've got a library. There's craft shops. There's a chapel there and everything. And each week they focus a little bit more on, you know, what they're helping with the veterans up there on this particular thing. And they've got a number of weeks that they, you know, that they're focusing on. We're looking for the one for Vietnam veterans. Some weeks the families come up and do these type of things, and they're geared for that. They've got a trauma center week coming up that's geared specifically for women in that whole thing. So there's a number of things that they do. And they hold the camp actually is at Lake Tomahawk in Wisconsin.
In northern Wisconsin.
Right, in Oneida County. And it sits on a beautiful lake facility. And if you're a veteran and you want to get it, or anybody, go and take a look at it, because it's phenomenal what they're doing up,
so it's
up there.
So it's just a nice place to relax.
That's
and enjoy the outdoors.
That's exactly what it's geared for.
This event is called Vietnam Veterans Week Firebase. What is the significance of Firebase or FB?
In Vietnam, when you were in a combat situation, you came back out. There was a firebase, and that was where everybody got together, sat down, looked at what happened, tried to figure out what happened and where they're going to go from there. And that's why they came up with the terminology, the firebase, for the Camp American Legion for the Vietnam Veterans Week.
Could you describe for us what the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program is all about?
About 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago, there were a number of people in county government here and everything, and they looked out and they said, there's a lot of veterans in the area. We got to look at maybe starting a veterans court. And so they had one of the judges went out to Buffalo, New York, and that's where the whole program started. They came back with one, and that's what they started. They started looking at it. And we sat down and looked at it. One of the key elements within the veterans court is a mentor. And a mentor is assigned to somebody that's in the veterans court. And he's there to help them, to be with them. Well, in Buffalo, New York, and a lot of them, once that veteran leaves the court, they're done. And we all looked at it and we said, we're missing something here. And that's why we took and formed the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program. We're a nonprofit organization. We're there to support the veterans court. We provide mentors for them and everything. But we do a lot of outreach also to the other areas that we service. And we actually right now service five counties in western Wisconsin and two in Minnesota. And we are getting far too many phone calls to get expanding ourselves. But for right now, that's where we're at.
Could you maybe describe a little bit what type of mentoring you're doing with the veterans?
When they started the mentor program, they were supporting those in the veterans court. To get into a veterans court, you have to be wounded mentally. And we looked at that. And when I look at that, and I've testified for the state legislature on what is PTSD and all this type of thing, and I say it's sort of like this. Look at it this way. We've got our veterans can come back two ways. They can be either physically wounded. They come back and they're getting the Purple Heart. The other ones come back, they've been mentally wounded. They don't get anything. And we say, well, they're coming back with the Broken Heart Award. And that's what we're here for. We're there. We work closely with the VA in the communities, doing a lot of outreach communities, trying to reach out to those veterans in need. Our veterans, our mentors, when they're trained, the one key thing that we teach them is how to listen. And then we train them, you know, to hear little other flags, you know, situations that may come up. Maybe there's a potential suicide out there. Maybe there's a domestic violence thing out there. Our mentors are trained to look at those things. They get back to us, and then we get the professionals in. Our mentors are not professionals. That's not what we do. We're there for fellow veterans and to sit down and listen. And it's rather interesting. They just came out with a national survey of all the veterans' courts and what the mentor does within the courts. Right now, those that have succeeded in having the veterans go through the court, 85% of those that succeed have mentors approached, you know, assigned to them. We have now have had here in the La Crosse Veterans Court 5 veterans that have gone through and graduated, and each one has got a, you know, has a mentor with them all the way through the whole process, just to be there, call them up, say, hey, how's it doing? And that interface becomes so good that after they graduate, they're buddies forever. And we do know that because we do a little follow-up on the side. So that's the thing on the court side that we do. But we do a lot of other things. We've now started an office up in Viroqua, and we're doing outreach out there within the communities. In the rural area, there's a lot of things that they don't know what to do, where to go. We're here, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to make a lot of what we call the community outreach for those veterans reaching out another veteran.
And we're talking about veterans, not just from the most recent conflicts in the Middle East, but from, I assume, dating back to the Vietnam War.
When you look at PTSD, PTSD is a new terminology for World War II with, you know, shell shock. Mm. And you go back and you do your history, it goes back to even to the Civil War. This whole phenomenon is out there. But we talked about Vietnam veterans, and the average age of right now our Vietnam veterans, which are about almost 3 million veterans, are 65 years old. That's the mm-hmm. average. And a lot of people don't understand that, well, they didn't have, you know, there's not a lot of problems with the whole situation. But in December of 2009, the Wisconsin VA went through and did an evaluate report on Vietnam veterans. They make up 8% of our whole state population. And they account for 21% of all the suicides in the state of Wisconsin. And right now it's estimated that 31% of the veterans suffering from, you know, suicide, PTSD, 31% are Vietnam veterans. 10% are from the Gulf War. 11% are from Afghanistan, and 20% are from Iraq veterans. So this was a shock to all of us about the Vietnam situation.
So why is it so high among Vietnam veterans? Do you think they would have experienced it, you know, shortly after they got out of the military from the war?
When I got out of Vietnam and came back to the United States, it was entirely different than when our veterans come out of service now. When I came back, I went through Travis Air Force Base in California. Basically, what they did was you signed your paperwork. They gave you any money you got, and they said, thank you. And then the last thing they would say is, as we walked out the door, said, take those uniforms off you got. Throw them in the garbage. Do not wear uniforms out of the door and put a you know, civilian thing on. And so that's all that we had. I mean, there was no help explain everything that was going
no
on.
No debriefing like they do.
Like they do now. You know, they come back from debriefing takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months or 3 to 6 weeks now, just for these. And so then there's follow up done. None of that was done. Economically, a good friend of mine in Madison is trying to put together some statistics on all the economics for Vietnam or veterans and stuff, particularly Vietnam, and why they, like you said, we didn't see these things happening. And what we're seeing is, surprisingly, is when they got out, they were able to come back and get a job. And they were able to get back into the community again and do those type of things. And so all of this stuff was hidden by what they were suffering from all the PTSD and war situations. Now that is gone. Mm-hmm. Now they're in retirement. We're starting to see it more in the La Crosse area. I had a gentleman who's a Vietnam veteran. I didn't know him well, but I talked to him a little bit. And we sort of thought that he was having, you know, some situations, but he was able to hide it enough, and he ultimately ended up committing suicide. And that, we lost a veteran, and that hurts to me. But those are the type of things that we're seeing now, and that's what we're trying to do, is to do some outreach into the community, saying, going to the church and say, hey, Bob next to you is a Vietnam veteran, and he, you know, he doesn't know what to do, give us a call and see what we can, if there's something that we can do, because we do a lot of outreach, getting into, you know, some programs or some things along that lines to start generating and thinking of those things. Because if you've been in combat, particularly in Vietnam, you may not know about PTSD. There was no such thing that they showed, you know, about that. I had it. I went through combat. I did not even think about it, quite honestly. I refused to talk about it. I still a little hesitant about doing it, although I do some mentoring for guys coming in from, you know, currently coming back. And I explained to them, I said, when you have been wounded mentally, you've been wounded for the rest of your life. Just like if you were physically wounded, you're going to be for the rest of your life. You've got to learn how to control that. And they didn't understand it. And I didn't think a lot about it, whole lot, until one night we were sitting around watching some John Wayne movies, and he had the Green Beret in there, and they had some mm-hmm. nasty things, which pretty general for now when you look at it, but something clicked. And about 4 days later, I had sat upright in bed, sweating horrendously. I had a flashback. I hadn't had any problems for 20 years. It hit. Mm-hmm. But I had been explained to what to do and what it's going to happen. I was able to walk through. But it took about four or five days off and on again to work through that. But those, you're going to have that wound for the rest of your life.
Does everybody get through it in similar fashion, or how did you get through it, and can that help others?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I guess I'm not the professional to give right. you that answer. I can only tell you from my side, I was fortunate enough to get somebody when I got initially way back when I was having some problems, a psychiatrist that I was able to go to, and we sort of worked through it and understood. We didn't really understand totally what the whole situation was, but we were able to sort of work through, and I was able to, as PTSD became more important, you could read a lot more about it than I could see it. But like I said, when I talk to our veterans currently, and we do some stuff with them, I say, listen, I can't tell you what your war theater is like. I only know what mine is, but I can tell you there's certain things that are the same. But individually, everybody is individually wounded, can be wounded, and you'll have to learn mm-hmm. how to handle that.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking with the executive director of the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program, Tom Downer. He's reaching out to area Vietnam War veterans to get them involved in an event called Vietnam Veterans Week Firebase in northern Wisconsin this June, to help commemorate the 50th anniversary of the start of the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was terribly unpopular. Vietnam veterans came back. They didn't get the parades. They didn't have the debriefing. How many of the problems that Vietnam War veterans had do you think are related to the actual battle and combat, and how many are related to the way they were treated?
Again, I'm no professional at that type of a thing. All I can tell you is from experience and the ones that I currently work with and we're working with. Combat, whether it's in World War II, Vietnam, OEF or OIF, is the same. You're in combat. Okay, that's the same thing. When they come back now, though, there is an appreciation for what they're doing. During Vietnam, we were sent to go over there. You had an option. You could either enlist or get drafted.
All right.
And that was – and that put everybody going over. That was not an option. You had to go. And so they were in a position that when they came back, there was nobody to say, thanks. You know, I don't appreciate what had to be done, but you at least stood up for us back in home. And like we didn't – the politics got too much involved. And unfortunately – or fortunately now, the politics is not getting involved for our veterans coming back. And I think that's the biggest difference between the whole – you know, the whole that whole period of 50-some years there. And you can talk to a lot of them. They come out – I've told you very briefly, you know, what it was – what they told us. But what – there are veterans that, you know, walked out and that people were spitting on them and everything else. And, you know, there they were. So
that attitude has changed somewhat towards Vietnam veterans in recent years. There seems to be more acceptance of what they went through and more of a trying to turn it from maybe a shunning into more of a appreciation for what they've done, at least in this state. I think we had, like, was it the LZ Lambeau event a few
That's
years
correct.
Ago? And then this event that we're talking about this year, which is certainly more of a celebration than a...
Right. And there's some of us talking, and we don't know yet because we're doing a little more research on the whole issue. In the western Wisconsin area, was there a formal welcoming back from Vietnam veterans? And that's what we're sort of looking at doing with the possibility of maybe this summer in La Crosse, and it's only at the, we're only at the beginning of looking at the whole thing, of possibly putting together a welcome home parade for all the Vietnam veterans. We don't know that yet. We're working on that.
Some of the figures I found before the interview was that in Wisconsin, we had over 165,000 who served in the military at
Correct.
The time of the Vietnam War. I don't know how many actually served in Vietnam, and that more than 1,200 from Wisconsin died
Correct.
In Vietnam. And I think the numbers that I saw were like 24 from La Crosse and
That's,
two from Mount Alaska and one from Holman.
Yeah, those are the figures that I've seen and done some work in looking at them with the veteran service officer here. And it's a little bit difficult to go and find specifically who served in Vietnam. And that's not to say it's not easy. You can do it. It's just that, you know... It takes a lot of research work of digging up because a lot of people, even though they were in the military back then, still don't want to talk about Vietnam.
So that's a big reason for this interview is to identify those who might be interested in this camp this summer, right?
That is correct. And if they are interested, they have a format, they have a registration form they have to fill out. But if they're interested, they can give us a call. It's 608-785-6420.
And space is limited. I mean, there's only room for about 90 Vietnam War veterans,
that
isn't
is
there?
That is
so,
correct.
So with that limited space and that large number of people who are still around, how is the camp going to determine who goes?
And that is a good question, and that's what they are looking at right now. The one option that they are putting out there is if somebody wants to come up, and they can't go all week long. The option is they can come up and spend, any Vietnam veteran can come up one day and spend the whole day there. They just won't have ability to stay. So that's what they're looking at doing as well. So during that period of week, if somebody is a Vietnam veteran, they can be up there and they want to go to the program that day or whatever, go. They'll be more than happy to take them.
Tom Downer is executive director of the La Crosse Area Veterans Mentor Program. They're looking for area Vietnam veterans interested in going to Wisconsin's Camp American Legion in northern Wisconsin in June. They'll be marking the 50th anniversary of the start of the U.S.'s involvement in the Vietnam War. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this show and other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit WPR.org/newsmakers. There, if you'd like to share a comment or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.